that he comforts us and guides us. But I'm going to tell you this morning, the Holy Spirit did not just come to encourage you, but to employ you. I really want you to get a hold of that. The Holy Spirit did not come just to encourage you, but to employ you. He gives us power to fulfill the mission that Christ left for us. Part of the evidence of the ongoing, this immersion, the baptism, and the Holy Spirit in your life is the heavenly employment that the Holy Spirit empowers you to do. And so I know this is very simple, very basic, so I want to talk about that just for a second. You probably may not realize that you have employment when it comes to the kingdom of God. We do have a vocation, a mission that we are to be a part of. And our employment consists of four things. In your notes it says three things, but there's four blanks. But there are four things because I added one later and I forgot to change that. But it's very simple. Four things. Number one is this, is to love God. It is part of your job to love God. Now that doesn't sound too hard, does it? Right? I mean, shouldn't that encourage you? I mean, we get to love God and the Holy Spirit strengthens us and empowers us to do that. Number two is a little bit more difficult, to love people. So we're going to love God and we're going to love other people. And number three is this, is to be a witness. We're going to love God, we're going to love people, and we're going to be witnesses about what Christ has done, the gospel, the good news, what he's done in our life. And number four is this, is make disciples. It is our job. It is our, not just my job. It is our job, say our, to make disciples. So we're going to love God, love people, witness, and make disciples. And so now I just want to share a few verses on that. I told you, turn the book of Matthew. If you want to flip to Matthew 22, we're going to be reading two verses in Matthew and one in Acts. So love God, love people, witness, and make disciples. So let's look at the scripture about those things in Matthew chapter 22. And it says this, and he said to them, right? You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. We're going to love God. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So there we see the first two things, to love God and to love people. And now there are more things than just this four, but for this morning, I want to focus on these four. And then we get to Acts 1:8. Remember, number three was this, is that we're to be witnesses. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 tells us, but you'll receive power and the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. Everybody say witness. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then we get to Matthew chapter 28, where it tells us about making disciples in Matthew 28, 19. Some of the last words of Jesus, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, anytime we sing a Spanish song, and I long for the day that we can add some, even maybe some songs in French or even other languages. I mean, I always think in my mind, man, what it's going to be like that day when it's every tongue, tribe, and nation worshiping together. Isn't that going to be, I can't imagine what that's going to be like. I think it's going to be awesome. Just like you can't know the Father without the Holy Spirit, just like you can't be a new creation without the Holy Spirit, just like you can't know what it is or bear the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot fulfill your mission without the Holy Spirit. You have to have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you what we're talking this morning is about that baptism, that immersion in the Holy Spirit. And yeah, there are evidences and fruits and gifts we're going to be talking about today and the next few weeks. But I got to tell you that there is something that significant happens in your life when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, immersed in him, and that is your love for God, your worship to God. It will make a significant change. You'll be more passionate. It'll be more ready, available. It'll be easier in so many ways. Growth stops with many because they don't fully allow the Holy Spirit to employ them fully. So many times you see the work of God, not that God stops his work in us, but that we stop it because we don't fully surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And I just want to say right here that, you know, this is part six. And I just want to encourage you that if you have missed one, or maybe you've heard them all, I just want to encourage you to listen to them again. Because listening to it again, coming up what we're talking about this morning, man, it's really all comes together and melds together. And so if number one is this, is that the Holy Spirit not only encourages but employs, number two is this, when the Holy Spirit enters, everyone will notice. Everyone will notice. When the Holy Spirit comes into a person, when the Holy Spirit comes into a room, impacts a church, people will notice. I said this last week, but I want to say it again. The Holy Spirit is not some weirdness. The Holy Spirit is not a ghost like you would picture a poltergeist. The Holy Spirit is not some new age thing. The Holy Spirit makes you a new creation. The Holy Spirit helps you, encourages you, counsels you. The Holy Spirit gives you a job and a mission and the power to fulfill that mission. And so the next step in these next few scriptures we're going to go to are really very important. Why? Because we're going to see something unfold here. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, we're going to look at several scriptures in Mark, in Matthew chapter 3, Luke chapter 3, Mark 1, and John 1. We're going to look at all these different scriptures. And so I want you to follow along with me. But I want to explain something that is of significance, I think, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're what we call synoptic gospels. Why do we call them synoptic gospels? Because Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're similar gospels. John is not included in that. And the reason that John is not included is that is when you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and you read through that, what you see, now all four of them have something very common, right? It talks about the birth of Jesus. It talks about the cross, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus. All four talk about that. But in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you see something happen. It jumps really from to after his birth and everything, it jumps to the third year of Jesus' ministry. John is the only one that covers the first 2 years of Jesus' ministry. But not only does it talk about, once you see a common thread between all four, which is really important, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is not just the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus, but also the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's set this up just very quickly. I want you to see something, because what I'm talking about is when the Holy Spirit enters, everyone will notice, right? So let's look at Matthew chapter 3 in verses 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, look what it says, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending. Now I want to emphasize this word, like. He descended like a dove. I know us Christians, we like our doves, man. Right? We like our pictures of our doves and our little doves on our cars. Notice it does not say the Holy Spirit is a dove, but it came like a dove. Are you following me? He came like a dove, and behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Now, do you think people noticed that? Do you think that was noticeable for it to be recorded in Scripture, that the Holy Spirit came down like a dove, and then they hear the Father's voice? I think people noticed that. Look in Mark chapter 1. We're going to go in order. Mark chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. When he came up from the water, immediately he saw the... I like Mark. You know, what I like about Mark is a lot more descriptive in his adjectives in Scripture. Mark 1:10. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him. And it says it again, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I'm well pleased." I mean, for Matthew to record it and for Mark to write it down, and then Luke also, Luke chapter 3 in verse 22. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. And the Holy Spirit, listen how Luke says it. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. It says again, and a voice came from heaven. You're my beloved son, with you I'm well pleased. And then we're going to see it again. And there's something significant we see in John chapter 1 in verse 32. In John chapter 1 in verse 32, we see it the fourth time. Besides the gospel message of his birth, death, resurrection, the only thing we see in all four gospels is the Holy Spirit. John 1:32, and John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove. But look at these next few words. And it remained on him. It remained on him. Now, we talked about in a few weeks ago about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, that in many times he came upon, he rested upon, but it's not, he didn't live inside of them, and many times he did not stay upon them. But here we see in John 1:32, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. It remained on him. It just doesn't stop there in Acts chapter 2. Luke also wrote Acts, as he did as the book bearing his name, but Acts chapter 2, begin verse 2, we talked about this in part 2 about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues of fire appeared on them and rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you skip down to verse 7. And they were amazed, astonished, saying, Not all these who are speaking Galilean. And so what happened was is that this language came out of the upper room in Acts chapter 2. But what I want to focus on right now is that something happened where it was seen and it was heard. Are you following me? So when the Holy Spirit came in, at Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit, something happened that was seen and heard. They saw the Holy Spirit like a dove and heard the Father's voice. In Acts chapter 2, something was seen and heard. There was a wind. It sounded like a mighty rushing wind, and it was fire that divided on each of them, and they spoke with other tongues. Are you following me this morning? It was seen and it was heard. But there's something else that these same four scriptures talk about, these passages in Matthew 3, Mark 1, Luke 3, and John 1. You see, we believe when we are saved, the Holy Spirit is who does the work inside of us that makes us new. Would you agree with that? Amen? That's what makes us a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, right? And everything becomes new. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But there is a subsequent, another experience of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Let me just go through. Let's let the Bible speak for itself. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. It says, I baptize you with water. This is John the Baptist is talking here. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you. Who's the he there? That's Jesus, right? He will baptize you with what? With the Holy Spirit and fire. Mark chapter 1 and verse 8. For future reference, you may not be knowledge you want, but you can see it's Matthew 3, Luke 3, Mark 1, John 1. But Mark 1, chapter 1, verse 8. Mark 1, we read, I've baptized you with water, talking about John the Baptist. This is the same passages we read before when this is actually right before the water baptism of Jesus, when the Spirit came down like a dove and we heard the Father's voice. Mark 1:8, I've baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So when you're looking at Matthew 3 and Mark 1, who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit? Jesus. Luke 3:16, John answered them all, I baptize you with water, But he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie, he will what? We see it again. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit and fire. John 1:33. It says it again. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Now listen very carefully here. Here's your next blank if you're following along. If Jesus needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, then do you think we do? Right? Because in John 1:32, we see the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and what? Remained. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and remained. And I mean, there's another illustration I use about, you know, Jesus going in the wilderness, right? And he goes in the wilderness for 40 days and he's tempted by the devil. Anybody remember that story in the Bible? And I tell people all the time, if it's not above Jesus to go through that, do you think we're not going to go through that? I mean, matter of fact, he tells us that in the last days, I mean, things aren't going to be just simple, easy, and cheesy, right? I mean, there's going to be trials and tribulations and difficulties, and if Jesus didn't escape it, we're not going to escape it. It's just that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, gives us the empowerment to walk through it, to make it through it. I think I'm a whole lot more alive and awake than you are right now. We have a coffee break? Get some cappuccinos? If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, a matter of fact, you read in Acts, I wish I had the scripture in the verse, but in Acts we read something else where it says that the Holy Spirit was given to Jesus without measure. Now, how many would like the Holy Spirit like that? I would love the Holy Spirit without measure. If Jesus needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit to remain on him, I'm going to tell you something, friend, so do you and so do I. So kind of make it, to maybe for those that, you know, I know that there's, we come from all kinds of backgrounds, right? And I've always been a part of the Assemblies of God, which I'm preaching what we believe, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've had many friends who have grown up not believing this. And so if you grew up that way, I just kind of want to help you along a little bit by going back to the Old Testament to show you it, that it's even in the Old Testament. Because remember, one thing I said about the Holy Spirit, his work has been from the beginning, right? His work has been from the beginning. So Ezekiel chapter 36, and the verses will be on the screen. I want to point some things out to you, maybe a little interaction this morning. But Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 25, let's just read this scripture. I'll sprinkle clean water on you, and you'll be clean from all your uncleanliness, and from all your idols I'll cleanse you. Now, if we were to put that into a modern day vernacular into the New Testament, what does that verse sound like? Does that remind anybody of salvation? Hello? When I read this, does it remind you of salvation? I'll sprinkle clean water on you, and you'll be clean from all your uncleanness. Right? So let's go to the verse 26. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I'll put within you. Now, is that spirit capital S or lower S? Lowercase s, isn't it? So that's talking about our spirit, isn't it? I mean, does reading that, and I'll give you a new heart, a new spirit within you, and I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, does that remind anybody of 2 Corinthians 5:17? If any man be in Christ, he's a new what? If you get a new heart, do you think that makes you a new creation? And then but that's where a lot of people stop in their belief. But then we get to verse 27. And what does it say? And I, who's I here? I's not me, right? I's not, who's I? I is God, right? So God says, I will put my what? Within you. For those, if you've had it a difficult time in your life, it feels like walking for the Lord and living for the Lord, being baptized in the Holy Spirit will shift that in your life. Why? Look what it says right here, that he's going to put his Spirit within us and he's going to cause us to walk in his statutes and to be careful to obey my rules. Does that not excite anybody this morning? I mean, this is good stuff. I will put my Spirit in you. Now that tells me there is a salvation experience and there is an immersion experience of the Holy Spirit. If you look in Matthew 3 and Mark 1 and Luke 3 and John 1, when it talks about Jesus baptizing with the Holy Spirit came upon him and remained. And I would dare say it's not stretching the truth to say that Jesus was already saved. Right? He's the only man that didn't need salvation like we need salvation. So let's compare. Remember a few weeks ago, I mean, I really hammered this point because I knew it'd get to this point this morning. John chapter 20, verse 22, it's on your screen. There may be a reference on your notes. But John 20, 22 is where it's after Christ has died on the cross. He's resurrected. He's walking the earth in his bodily form. He meets up with his disciples. And actually, the whole passage, 19 through 22, is actually a very significant passage. But John 22, he tells them, I'm sending you like the Father sent me. And it's this real powerful moment. But in verse 22 is where he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, do you remember what I preached about that? What I preached about that was this. Was that was the moment that those disciples became new creations. That's when it happened. That's when it happened. And what's significant about that? Because Jesus made a promise and he said, it's better for you that I go so that the helper can come. Is everybody following me? So upon salvation, what happens? We receive the counselor, the helper, the advocate that makes us new people and new creations, right? But so that happened in John chapter 20, that he breathed on them, they received the Holy Spirit. And of course, then he left, so now that we don't have to go find Jesus to get breathed upon, right? It was better for him to go. Now, I mean, the omnipresent Holy Spirit can instantly make us new and renew us. Now, keep that in mind, and then remember, let's look at Acts chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. And remember, these are some of the last words of Jesus. So he's already breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit, right? Look at Acts 1, 4, and 5. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Boy, that excites me, because people want to tell you, and there's all kinds of faiths and churches and denominations that'll tell you that the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for everybody and not for you. And yet when I look at Scripture, when I look at the Bible, and I see there were two encounters, one that made the disciples new and another promise they were to wait for. I'll be excited. It's okay. I'm going to preach the same sermon next week anyway. Wow. It's two works. It's two encounters. Does it make sense so far? Is everybody with me? Are we on the same page? Are you awake? Okay. I have my notes to check what time it is. Okay, we got time. So, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something you see and you hear. Right? if, remember, the Holy Spirit employs us, but not us employ us, but when the Holy Spirit comes into somewhere, everybody's going to notice. We read all those verses, right? And Matthew 3, and Mark 1, and Luke 3, and John 1, when the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, people noticed. When the Holy Spirit comes into a place, people are going to notice. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is something you see and you hear. We've read the verse before, but let's look at it again. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all, this is, remember Acts 1, he told them to go wait for the promise of the Father. Acts 2, this is where we're seeing it come to pass. All, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. Skip down to verse 32 in Acts 2. It says, then Jesus, God, raised up. And of that we are witnesses. This is Peter preaching. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. Listen, that he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. What happened on the day of Pentecost? We talked about it a few weeks ago. I don't want to get all deep into it because I talked about it a few weeks ago, but just very simply is that they're waiting. And so this what sounds like a wind is blowing, and then this fire, and they're speaking this tongue and these unknown tongues, and as the Spirit's giving them utterance, and there's all these men in the city, and they're like, what's this that we're hearing? I mean, they think these guys are drunk, right? I mean, some of you are familiar with the scripture. I know some aren't, but I mean, they're like, what is going on with these guys? How are these guys that don't even know our language speaking our language? And so Peter begins to preach. You know, and just a side note, I'm going to preach a sermon sometime about grace. I was thinking of something about grace. You know, when the law came down from Mount Sinai, and you know they had fashioned the golden calf, right? And they were saying, this is the God that delivers from Egypt. Are you following me? I know I had to switch gears just real quick, but just hang on a second. I'm giving you a sneak peek of something I'm going to preach. And so they were all having an orgy and a party, and God didn't like that. And 3,000 people were struck dead at that encounter. Have you ever seen the correlation on the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit was poured out? In the Old Testament, see, the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. You ever notice, are you following me, that when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, how many got saved? 3,000. Think about that. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for everyone. Acts chapter 2, verses 30 and 39. This is Peter's sermon. Peter's sermon, he tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, right? So what is that? That's we're getting saved. We're getting baptized into his death. We are new creations. We've been crucified with Christ, right? And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you, say me, for your children, say my children, and for all who are far off. Now think about that. See, a lot of people want to say the Holy Spirit's not for them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. A lot of people want to say the Holy Spirit's not for today. But yet we read this verse, Peter preaching, and he says what? It is for you, and it's for your children, and it's for everybody else. I believe was what that's saying here, for everyone. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Have you been called to the Lord Jesus himself? Have you been called to the Lord Jesus himself? Are you a believer? Are you a Christian? Then the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for you. We believe that the baptism of believers in the Holy Spirit is witnessed by the initial physical sign of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the empowerment and gives the utterance. We see it in Acts 2:4, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Can we just keep going a little bit? Is that okay? Let's look at a few examples. Let's talk about something that happened in Samaria when all this is going on in Samaria. In Acts chapter 8, Philip went to Samaria and he preached Jesus. And many heard him while he preached. And the Bible tells us that in Acts chapter 8 that many miracles took place. People were delivered from demons. The paralyzed were healed. The lame walked. The people believed and they were saved. And then they were baptized in water. If you read Acts chapter 8, that's what you're going to read. And so the first important thing is this, is that they were saved. Philip preached. They came to belief in Christ and they were saved. The Bible tells us what? If we confess with our mouth what we believe in our heart, then we are what? Saved, the Bible tells us. They were saved. And then we get to Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. 14, 15, and 16. I want to read these real quick. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of Jesus. So here in 14, 15, and 16 are these new believers in Samaria believers. Yes, right? They are. And then the scripture tells us, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit, but then we know they were filled. That's your next blank. They were filled. Beginning in verse 17. Then Peter and John, they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And we know something significant happened. We know something had to be seen and heard. Why? Because there's this guy by the name of Simon. And so he goes to them and he's like, he's talking to Peter, Peter and John. And he offers them money. He's like, man, I want to pray for people like that. I mean, that's my vernacular, but it's what he's telling them in 17, 18, and 19. So something happened in those believers that this man saw the believers in Samaria get some power. He saw and he heard something, and he thought he could buy it with money. He thought he could buy it with money. Give me this power also so that anyone whom I lay my hands on might receive the Holy Spirit. Even though this is one instance that does not say that people spoke in tongues, we know that something happened. Why? Because Simon saw something. Are you following me? Let's go to Ephesus. Let's go to Ephesus. I think one of the most infamous questions asked by Paul in the Bible. I love this. I love this Acts 19. So Acts 19 verses 1 and 2. It says, and it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. That's how we know we're in Ephesus. Then he found some, what does it say? Disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? They said, no, we've not even heard that there's even a Holy Spirit. I think one of the greatest questions Paul ever asked, have you received since you believed? Acts 19:3. And he said, into what were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. What is John's baptism? Verse 4 tells us, and Paul said, John's baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who's to come after him. That is in Jesus. And then in verse 5, on hearing this, they were all baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So these disciples are now what? They're saved. Are you following me? So the disciples, they are now saved. Verse 5, on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 19:6. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit what? the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There was a manifestation that could be seen and it could be heard. Let's go to one more. One more. Cornelius' house. I almost like this is maybe, well, may I like it more than Acts 19, but Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, Cornelius and his household. Now this whole passage, Acts 10, is an awesome passage, but let's look at verse 44. While Peter was still saying these things, what happened was Peter had a dream, and Cornelius is a Gentile, and an angel told Cornelius to go send for Peter, and so Peter had that, you know, God really had to speak to Peter to go, even go to Cornelius' house, because Peter's a Jew, right, and Cornelius is a Gentile, so that's all real quick. I just summed up 43 verses for you. While Peter was saying these things, so he goes to the house and he's preaching. While Peter was saying these things, what was he saying? In the verses before, he's talking about to get saved, become a believer, to be a disciple. The Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised, who would that be? The believers among the circumcised, who would that be? That would be the Jews, right? That would be the Jewish people of the day who had come to with Peter were amazed. Why were they amazed? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Everybody say me. Right? Probably. We might have some of Jewish descent. I don't know. But, I mean, we're that's us. For they were hearing. And listen. For they were hearing them speaking in what? And extolling God. Remember I said earlier that the Holy Spirit will empower you to love God more. Extolling God. Then Peter declared in verse 47, can anyone with... And why do I want to point verse 47 out? Because of this. Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? They believed in Jesus but weren't water baptized yet. They get baptized in the Holy Spirit and Peter's like, well, I guess we got to water baptize them now. You don't have to be water baptized first to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. So what's a couple of myths? This is going to be really fast, and I'm going to close. So here's two critical myths that people say about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Myth number one is this. It was only for the apostles. I've heard that a lot. It was only for the apostles. If it was only for the apostles, then why did Peter in Acts chapter 2 in his sermon preaching to the people in Jerusalem say, it's for you and your children and all who are far off and all whom God would call? Hello. You know, it's kind of hard to refute the Bible, isn't it? Acts chapter 10, verse 45, we just talked about this. What was significant about Cornelius' house is that it was a house of Gentiles. These guys weren't apostles. Peter went reluctantly. Peter didn't know what was going to happen. He preaches the gospel to them. They get saved, and it really happens all at one time. They get saved and filled in the Holy Spirit at the same time. They get to speak in other tongues, and Peter's like, well, they're speaking in tongues, so I guess we better dunk them. These guys weren't apostles. They were Gentiles. Myth number two is this. It was only for the first century church. Some say, okay, I'll concede that point, but it's only for just the startup, you know, for the God has had to empower them to start that up. What, Pastor, what about the scripture? I heard somewhere that tongues will cease. Well, let's go there. Let's go to that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in verse 8. It tells us that love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. And as for tongues, they will cease. See right there. It's written. Well, let's keep reading. As for knowledge, it will pass away. I don't see a lot of you checking your brains at the door. For what we know in part, we prophesy in part. But listen, here's the key. But is the qualifier, is it not? When the perfect comes. the partial will pass away. If you're perfect in the house, raise your hand. When is perfection happen? When is perfection going to happen? Do you think maybe when you get to heaven? Do you think that's when perfection comes? Perfection is going to happen when we're in our glorified body and we're in heaven. That's perfection. He who began a work in us will complete it when? On his day. Are you with me? And so to say that it's only for the first century church, that doesn't line up with for you and your children and all who are far off and all who God would call. That doesn't line up with just Cornelius' house. I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit is for today. The Holy Spirit is for today. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today. Would you stand with me this morning?